We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Jessica Pirro is joining us live this morning, the CEO of Crisis Services. Jessica, we're glad you could be with us. Yesterday, I think everyone will agree, was a heartbreaking day in Western New York, collectively for this area, as that exhaustive missing persons case of Sanaya Dennis ended in tragedy, as she's presumed to have taken her life. Jessica, this was a bright young girl, had a full life ahead. And maybe this is a terrible reminder, really, of how fast a mental episode can escalate.
Yes, and I want to just echo your comments about this collective loss that we're witnessing and experiencing for our community. I think one of the things that's important to pull away from this conversation is just the importance of conversation around somebody's mental health conditions. Things can change for all of us. One of our board members quoted this by saying, you know, we're just a moment away from a crisis, any one of us. And so I think it's really important to acknowledge that when things are happening in our lives and we're struggling, that we have to really wrap people around with the support and care that they need, and also to really keep our eyes and ears on them when they're in a heightened crisis, to assure that risk factors like suicide are intervened and addressed as quickly as possible.
You know, you mentioned that just a moment away from a crisis. And the thing that struck me yesterday in listening to how this entire ordeal played out was how quickly that it happened. And it seemed to me that in this particular case, there were people close to her who were reaching out, who were there to listen. In one case, you know, there to say, you know, hey, listen, I need to hear from you, or I'm, you know, calling 911. I'm getting somebody over to help. And it seemed like there were those people there to take this seriously, or what I kind of read as very seriously. Yet still, it wasn't quick enough. Does that speak to how quickly these things can escalate, and what can you do? I mean, there has to be this helpless feeling amongst people who are close to Sanaya Dennis, knowing that there was an attempt to reach out, there was an attempt to get help.
You know, it's really, when we're talking about suicide, we do always want to know the whys, and it's really hard to pinpoint, you know, what could have been different or what could have been done to change this. For her family and her friends, those aren't things that we can say. I think anyone in these moments, they do the best they can with the resources in front of them. And really, when we're all in crisis moments, our ability to think clearly gets very restricted, and our ability to be creative and know what to do gets restricted. So I think when we see this situation unfold the way it did, we are seeing a whole community around her in crisis trying to help determine what the best next step is. But with that being said, I think the reaching out for help shows the sign of the struggle that she was in, but also that she was trying, you know, was finding hope in those conversations. And I think when we're talking about suicide, we have to be very cautious and very clear that it's a very complex situation. It's a very complex decision that somebody makes. And there's various risk factors and warning signs that play into that. And it's really important for us to also they'll highlight that there's many people in our community day in and day out who are having thoughts of suicide, who find that hope. At Crisis Services, we're managing hundreds of calls each day with people in crisis. And it's really finding what is the options for them in that moment to keep them safe in that moment and bring them to the next day. The helplessness and hopelessness that people feel is real. And the more we as community members, as friends, as families, is what we can do, reaching in the way that they did to the best that they could, is really the steps we encourage everyone to be conscious of and be aware of, to really help to try to help save lives, especially when somebody is suicidal.
The calls that you're referring to that you're getting, how much have they increased over the pandemic?
Well, through the pandemic, we've seen various types of call volume. What we've seen from this pandemic and what we're really starting to get more and more statistics about is, you know, the increase of people that are being observed with and disclosing that they are in heightened depression and anxious states. We've seen that increase from statistically, they're saying 4 in 10 people it grew from 1 in 10 over the pandemic. So we are starting to see how that's implemented into people's lives now, that this has become a part of who they are and needing to get that help. And so with Crisis Services, through the pandemic, it's really an ebbed and flowed with call volume based on the needs and what we were dealing with as a community, because we were going through so many stages of, you know, restrictions and closures and openings and closing again. Those patterns definitely were seen with our call volume. The stressors, when stresses increase in people's lives, those needs for help are more present. So, you know, one of the things we really just always encourage anybody when you're, you know, in a moment of stress, doesn't have to be a heightened crisis. And I think that's another message I like to stress today. If you're just having a day that you're feeling different, you're not sure what's going on, to make a phone call to us, let us help kind of decide with you what's some best options, or just needing to talk through something to help you in that moment. And our hotline is 834-3131.
And I think it's important to note that it doesn't have to be, even though it's crisis services, it doesn't have to be something that you would self-identify as a crisis moment. You know, it could just be feeling a little bit different or something like that.
Absolutely. Our counselors day in and day out do a lot of just supportive counseling and planning with people, coping ideas to kind of work through what they're going through that day. Maybe even just connecting with a counselor for the first time. You know, you've been thinking about it, and, you know, you're feeling that you're ready to do that. You know, we're really trying to get the way we would term it is upstream. We're really trying to get with people sooner in their thoughts and concerns or just their struggles that might be an onset of a mental health condition, because we know that with stigma, people take years before they make that first call or go to that first counseling appointment. And we're really trying to encourage people to open up and talk and know that it's okay and safe to do so, and that it's about the courage to do it. It's about the strength, that it's not a weakness, that it is a strength to really take care of our mental health. And the more we can look at that as just health in general and reduce the stigma for mental health, we want people to get connected to services sooner, because we know that so many people do live successfully with their mental health conditions. There's many people in our community as well that live with suicidal thoughts on a regular basis, but live successfully with those thoughts. And we want to make sure that they have the support that they deserve. And that is something I think out of this conversation, and as we continue through the pandemic and also May being Mental Health Awareness Month, we really want our community to check in with each other and see how we can help people get the help that they deserve and the support that they need so that they aren't struggling alone.
Jessica, you know, so many people are impacted by suicide. It's not just the person who decides to do the act, but the family and the friends that are left behind. What about the guilt that, you know, left by those who feel like they missed the signs? That's got to be a huge thing.
Yeah, we have, I think one of the things to acknowledge as we talk about this and people listening in, as we do have many suicide loss survivor families in our community. There's people living with this experience, and this coverage is a trigger, if you will, for them. And we do have to be conscious of those feelings. And, you know, as I started the conversation, a lot of times we want to know the whys that people make these decisions in that moment. And we can't give that answer. It's a very, you know, there might be signs, there might be warning signs, but the moment was the moment. And we'd never want, it's hard to say don't feel guilty, because it's, we can't take that away from people, how they feel. But we, that ownership can't sit with just them. You know, it's all of us. What can we do differently to help with our prevention efforts? And what can we do as a community to reduce, you know, that being the thought that somebody gets to as they're struggling? There's a lot of resources for suicide loss survivors that are available. And we can also help connect people to those resources by calling our hotline at 834-3131. We know that this is, you know, something people live with for the rest of their lives, like any grief and loss situation. And those families and those individuals need just as much support through this.
Jessica, thank you so much for the time today. Appreciate you joining us. It's Jessica Pirro, CEO of Crisis Services at Buffalo.